It's good for us to be here this morning, to be able to worship God together. And we're going to look at the book of Luke in chapter 14 this morning. In Luke chapter 14, and we begin reading at verse 15. Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard that these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then he said to them, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servant to them to say to those who were bidden to come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuse. The first said, 'I have bought a piece of land, a piece of ground, and I must go and see it, I pray you have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought a yoke of oxen, I bought five yoke of oxen, and am going to test them, and I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.'" Now Jesus goes on to explain this parable that the king, the ruler, the master of the house is very angry at this because they began to make an excuse for not coming to hear what he had to say and to give the feast that he had prepared for them. And he wanted them to do so. So we look at this, and one of the things that comes out of this is a question that we have. What is the difference between an excuse and a reason? And we look at our own lives sometimes, and we sometimes maybe confuse those two ideas sometimes. Well, we have to understand perhaps. And we sometimes call an excuse a reason because we don't really want to do anything. And so we want to justify our own way and justify the decision we make into doing the will of God or not doing the will of God. But in this passage in Luke chapter 15, there is a parable, what we call sometimes a parable of the great supper. In other words, the master of the house sent his servants out to bring people in. And he said, "Go into the highways and the hedges and bring them in, that my house may be filled." And the idea of the house there is not simply the feast, not simply the place of living, but it's also Jesus looking forward to the time of his own kingdom being established, that the word would go out to the world and everybody would be involved to come in and invited to come in to the great feast. The feast of eternal life and forgiveness. And his servant said, "Well, we've already done this, and there's still room." He says, "Okay, go out and bring everybody in you can, the lame, the halt, the blind, and all of those who normally would be overlooked and not even brought in to the great feast." And so he had this feast prepared for them. And it says in verse 18, "And they all with one consent begin to make excuse." So Jesus is telling this parable to people who are going to be given the opportunity to come to Christ and to have the promise of eternal life, to be a part of his kingdom, part of the house of God, the household of God, the family of God. But of course, they began to make excuse also. And the meaning of the idea of the parable is that God has prepared these things for you and me. But we have to answer the call. We have to be willing to follow the things our Lord has commanded. And regretfully, many people in the world do not receive the invitation. It's there. It's given. And God wants us to come and to be saved eternally. But many people still reject it. And there were three that were offered specifically in this particular passage. And so we'll look at that as an example as to the excuses and some people say reasons they might give not to come to the Lord. Now, first of all, the first one, he said, the ruler of the house, "I've already made these invitations." And the invitations had been sent out specifically to these. So the first one, he said, I have bought a field or I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go out and see it. I pray you have me excused." Now you think about that for a moment. The man thought his earthly possessions would excuse him from doing the will of the master of the house. And there's another thought right here also that comes to mind. He had bought the land, he bought the property, but he didn't even know exactly where it was or what it was like. Doesn't sound like a very good explanation to me. Sounds more like an excuse he was looking for. And then back in Luke chapter 12, in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, it says, and he said, take heed and beware of covetousnesses, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. The abundance of the things he possessed, in particular the property in this particular excuse, that was more important to him than coming to do the will of God. And that's the parable as Jesus is telling it. And he's using everyday things in life, as he always did in his parables, to teach a spiritual lesson. And like Demas in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, Demas had been a faithful follower with the Apostle Paul, had been on journeys with him, and is mentioned several times as being faithful to God. And yet at the end, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, it says he had forsaken, chapter 4 and verse 10, says he has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed to Thessalonica. So Demas gave up on God and upon Christ because he loved the things of this present world more than the things of God. Sometimes we forget what a privilege it is to serve God. And yes, it is. It's a requirement. Excuse me. It is a command of God to come together, to worship, to serve, to live a life of as an example to others, to teach His will as best we can. And yet it's a great privilege for us to do so. And sometimes we need to concentrate more on the privilege that it is for you and me than the duty and responsibility is. Yes, there's a balance there of those two things. And Psalms 122 and verse 1, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up into the house of the Lord. Now, the temple in Jerusalem had not yet been built when David wrote that. But the tabernacle was there, and they could go up to the house of God, offer sacrifice, and receive the blessings which God wanted them to have. And David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It was a privilege and an opportunity that King David looked at. And we need to look at it the same way when we come together to worship. Or we worship sometimes we're off somewhere else maybe, and we worship to God and we pray and we worship in that way too. And it is a privilege to be able to do so. In Psalms 144 and verse 15, it says, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. It says, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. We're to be glad, we're to be happy that we are God's people, we are God's servants. And He has promised He's going to be with us now and for all of eternity if we follow Him. But in contrast to the one that said, Lord, I've bought a field and I need to go see it and see what it's like. He'd already bought it, and so he should have already known what it was like. But that was an excuse. Because it says they all began to make excuses. And in contrast to the man in verse 18 who wanted to sell out himself to God, from God to the things of this world. And the notice, for example, was important because we look at Barnabas in Acts chapter 4. Barnabas was a child of God, a servant of God from the island of Cyprus. And this is the first mention we have of Barnabas in Acts chapter 4. And as many people there were selling the things they had and bringing what they had sold to the apostles and laying it at their feet as a contribution to the service of God. In Acts chapter 4, verse 35, it says, they laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed each one as any had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is being translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus. Having land, he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So in contrast to the one that made the excuse, Barnabas sold a property that he had, brought the money from that, and laid it at the apostles' feet to be used by the apostles and the church in Jerusalem to help those who were in need. That's the kind of example we could follow. Now, the Bible never commands us to sell everything we have and come and follow the Lord. But he tells us don't put anything in the place of God in our heart and mind. Don't make an excuse of the things of this life that we can't serve God because of those things. Now the next one then, that was the first excuse. The next one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go out to prove them. I pray have me excused. So he didn't just buy 1 oxen, there was 5 yoke. In other words, 2 of them together, so there would be 10 oxen that he had bought. And again, it comes back to the same question. He bought 5 yoke of oxen, and he didn't know what condition they were in. He didn't go look at them first. That's a rather flimsy excuse that he was giving his master there. But he made the excuse anyway. And so he wanted to be excused from the feast that was given. He had his own priorities, and they were not the priorities of his master. Of course, it was important that he made the right choice, and he didn't hear. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul there says, if any will not work, neither let him eat. In other words, we have to work, but the work has to be in the proper context, has to be at the proper time, and we work, and we have to make time for service to God, but also work to earn a living and the things of life. Jesus never made us choose between the two, but he made us decide what is important and what is going to be the priority in our life. And the one that bought the 5 yoke of oxen, that was his problem, was the priority in his life. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul says, but if any provides not for his own household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So if we don't, we have to hold up both sides of it. It's not a question of earning a living or serving God. It's both. We have to do both of those things. Just like when they came to Jesus and asked, Lord, is it right to offer, pay taxes to Caesar? Yes or no? Well, they thought that was a thing that Jesus couldn't get out of. They were trapped him in it. But he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And they couldn't answer that wisdom. And of course, the fact is, Jesus didn't say, it's either or, you either pay taxes to Caesar or you serve God. He says it's both. You have a responsibility as an individual person, but also a responsibility to God. But this man had a choice to answer his master's call or do what he wanted to do first. And note the question was living and serving God or not. We cannot make an excuse for not serving God and taking time to do so. The Pharisees, for example, in Mark chapter 7, Jesus, in confronting them, there was a part of the law of Moses said there was a responsibility of the children as they grow up to take care of their parents when they came to the point when they could not take care of themselves. And there was a responsibility under the law. But the Pharisees, as they often did, came away with an idea that would excuse them from doing their duty to God and to their parents. And they said, what is supposed to be for you, our parents, is given to God. And the term Corban is used in the book of Mark. And the Corban meant given or given to God. In other words, they're saying, we don't have to take care of our mother and our father anymore, because we've already given that all to God. Well, it was not an either-or situation there either. Yes, they had to give to God according to the law of Moses, under which they lived, but they also had to take care of their parents and the other responsibilities they had. And so again, for us, it's not a question of either-or. Sometimes we may be called away for something in this life that we have to do. And God understands that, and God knows our heart and mind. If we have the opportunity, we need to meet together as best we can to serve God and to worship. And God has provided for us, and he has promised that he would do so. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. And he says there, Matthew 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. A choice has to be made. Now, you read on down in this particular passage. Now, Jesus talking about there in the Sermon on the Mount, about people are always worrying and not understanding where the blessings come from. And they say, well, what can we eat, or what will we drink, or what shall we put on, or can we have shelter? You go on down to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Jesus answers the question. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And he says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, you do today what God requires of you, and he's going to be with you and take care of you in this life, and he's promised to do so. So the first two of these excuses, I can't come because I bought land and I have to go look at it to see what it is, and that didn't hold. The second one, I bought two yoke of oxen, and I need to go see them and prove them that they're what I need and such as that. So it was just an excuse. It was not a reason. It was an excuse not to do what the master called him to do. Well, the third one is a little bit different. Luke chapter 14 and verse 20. He said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now, this is a little different from the other two. This man's excuse was family ties. In other words, I can't serve God because I have to take care of my family. Again, it is not an either-or situation. It is both. A person has an obligation to God, but we also have an obligation to our family. And turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll get back to this thing in a moment. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, of course, writing there. In Ephesians chapter 5, and the whole passage towards the end of Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6 is talking about the relationships that we have with family. And he likens it to our service to the Lord. And in verse 22, he said, the fruit of the Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. He goes on to explain there. But he says in verse 25, then, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it with the washing of water with the word. In other words, there is a responsibility of husband to wife and wife to husband. And he's likening that to the relationship of Christ and the church. And you read on down and talk about that. Then in chapter 6, children, in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. There's a responsibility then of the fathers to the children and vice versa. And all of these responsibilities are there. And again, it's not one or the other, it's both. And so the man made it, he said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Well, in fact, under the law of Moses, a newlywed was not required for one full year to go to work or to be called into the military. He was to stay there with his wife for the first year. That was the law. In Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 5, it says, when a man takes a new wife, he shall not go out into the host, in other words, into the military, neither shall he be charged with any business. He shall be free at home 1 year and shall cheer his wife whom he has taken. So this particular excuse had kind of a foundation in the law, And sometimes that's the way people are. They'll look through the Bible and find something that sounds like it backs up what they believe, and they'll say, well, here's why I do this. Well, it may not necessarily mean what they're talking about. Well, yes, this is a good law. God made the law. And it was for the new husband and wife to be able to be together for a whole year before the other responsibilities came in. But Jesus says, no, this doesn't work here in this particular situation. God understands our obligations to family. God created the family and us to be a part of it. In fact, someone has said the family is the oldest institution of God. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. So we cannot go away from our family obligations, but we have to understand where the line is. We have to be willing to do both. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, if you love father or mother more than me, or children more than me, or son or daughter, whatever it may be, more than me, you cannot be my disciple. In other words, there has to be a choice made. When there is a difficulty that comes up, we have to choose to do the will of God, even if sometimes it may be over our obligation and our responsibility to family. We have to be careful. But the spiritual idea is always there. God wants us to be right as husbands and wives and children and grandparents and whatever it may be in our life. God wants us to fulfill that responsibility as much as possible and not to give excuse for it, but also to fulfill our responsibility to God as much as we possibly can. In the end, we'll not be able to argue that possessions or family or any other thing has taken us so far away from God that we didn't have time or we couldn't serve God. God gives us every day we live in this life. In Romans chapter 12, we look over there for a moment. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 is summing up the previous few chapters of Romans is looking up to this explanation. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. He says, therefore, all that's gone before, what Christ did for us, what God has done for us, what the Holy Spirit reveals to us and guides us to do by the Word. He says, all of these things come down to this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's not either or, it's both. To serve God faithfully as best we can. So God offers to us that opportunity to present our body a living sacrifice to God. Now that's in contrast to the Old Testament, where they offered the body of a bull or a goat or whatever it might have been as a sacrifice for their sin. We offer ourselves every day we live. It's a living sacrifice. Jesus offered his body once for all in death and the shedding of his blood so that we would not have to offer that kind of sacrifice anymore. Also, it's to be done on a daily basis. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus says to his disciples there, he said, take up your cross daily and follow me. It's every day we live. It's not on the first day of the week and maybe Wednesday night. It's every day we live. We are to be a servant of God. Every day we live, we take up our cross daily and follow him. Now that cross, Jesus has said, if we're willing to bear it, he'll be there with us all along. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We can take the yoke of Jesus upon us. We can carry that cross, but he's going to help us carry it all the way. With God's will, we have to establish a priority. In Matthew 22 and verse 37, so he said unto them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. He had been asked the question, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And he didn't pick out one of the Ten Commandments. He says the greatest commandment of all is love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and as it says in Luke also. And so you think about that, there's the priority. And he says the second commandment is like it. They didn't ask Jesus what was the second commandment, but he gave it to them anyway. He says to love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, the whole point of the law to them was to establish the right relationship with God first and then with each other. And if we try to do that in all of these areas of life, whether it's family, whether it's worship to God, whether it's whatever, it's the way we work, whatever we may do, it's always God has to be the priority in our life. And that's what he wanted this parable to bring out to them. We can't make excuses because God knows our heart and mind. He knows we're making excuses when we're doing that. And we might as well just own up to it and be willing to follow God to the best of our ability. We have to serve him without complaint and excuse. And when we do that to the best of our ability, we're going to be given eternal life. Revelation 2 and verse 10, Jesus says through the Apostle John, he says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. That's a blessing. That's a privilege and an opportunity that God gives to every one of us. But we have to take advantage of it. We have to believe him. We have to be willing to obey the gospel and be a servant of him every day of our life from that day forward. And if we do so, he's going to give us eternal life, the best life now that we can live, and the best life for all of eternity. But we have to make the decision. This morning, if you need to come, won't you do so as together we stand as we sing.